My friends, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Here once again, the words of our Lord from his Sermon on the Plain, not on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, but the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus lifted up the eyes, lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is God's word. Please be seated. So what does it mean to be blessed? And what does it mean to be filled with woe? Those answers come to us very powerfully today in the Word of God. Unfortunately, most of what we think we know about being blessed or about being filled with woe, we have not learned from the Word, but we have learned from the world, which has left us with faulty thinking on this whole subject. Because you see, the world tends to judge things superficially, based on what can be seen on the surface of things. And so we judge the blessed ones to be the ones whose lives on the surface of things are going well. Oh, you are so blessed because you have all the desires of your heart, everything you could ever want. You are so blessed because you don't have to struggle to make ends meet or worry about where your next meal is coming from. You are so blessed because you have such good health and you have a good job and you've got a good insurance and you recovered from your sickness and you are so blessed because you have the kind of life everyone else envies and wishes they could have. And then the opposite is also true. In this superficial way of thinking, we judge a person's life to be filled with woe when, on the surface of things, it's not going so well. Woe to her, to whom bad things happen, for whom life is a constant struggle. Woe to her, for whom the desires of her heart will never be anything more than a pipe dream. Woe to her whose job is minimum wage, who has no insurance, who is chronically ill. Woe to her whose life no one envies and no one wishes they could have. And that is how the world has taught us to judge blessing and woe. But today, Jesus says, not so fast. Blessing and woe may not be what you think. And actually, sometimes our world actually figures this out all on its own, even if for a short while, and then they quickly forget. For example, when Princess Diana, remember her? Arguably the most blessed woman in all the world. On the surface, nevertheless, she engaged in self-harm, was bulimic, had mental breakdowns, and was miserable. Or on the flip side, you sometimes see that, you know, that lady that they interview on the evening news that just lost everything in an apartment fire. All that she ever had, has no insurance, and you would expect her to go on camera and say, "Oh, woe is me, oh, woe is me." But instead, she gets in front of the news camera and speaks about how blessed she is. These kinds of people do not fit our well-defined sense of what it means to be blessed. And they remind us that there is more to blessing and woe than what can be seen on the surface, and they force all of us to reevaluate. And that's a good thing, because that is exactly what Jesus would have us do as well, to reevaluate what we think we know about blessing and about woe. And so that day on the level place in Galilee, Jesus is swarmed with this great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of the people. All of these people with their ailments, their demon possessions, their diseases, their sorrows, their poverty, their brokenness, their woes. And our Lord looks at them and he is moved by what he sees to speak about woe and about blessing. But who is blessed? And to whom is woe? Be careful if you think you know. You assume that the woeful ones are all those down and out, destitute, sick people, those poor, demon-possessed people, and of course the blessed ones are those who receive the healing or never even needed it in the first place. But did you ever stop to think that Jesus waited to preach this sermon until after the healings, precisely to warn the very people he had just healed of the woe that often comes to those who think they are blessed? I think about the nation of Israel coming out of the wilderness after 40 years of wilderness wandering. And now entering into the promised land. Think about the contrast between their wilderness lives and their promised land lives. In the wilderness, oh, they ate manna and they ate quail every day, day after day after day for 40 years. And very early on, they were already grumbling about it and they said, "We have nothing to eat but this manna." And they despised it because they considered their lives in the wilderness to be all, "Woe is me, woe is me." But once in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, they had everything they could to eat they could possibly want. Leeks, pomegranates, melons, meats, onions. And besides that, every natural resource to make them prosperous. And so naturally, there in the promised land, they considered themselves to be blessed. And so Israel judged blessing and woe the same way we do, superficially, by what the eye can see. But had they judged correctly? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, as Israel stands poised to leave behind that woeful wilderness life and to step forward into that blessed promised land life, Moses delivers a speech, his farewell speech to Israel, in which he puts an entirely different spin on things. And he reminds Israel that in that woeful wilderness life, they had actually been quite blessed because God used that hard wilderness life to humble them and to teach them that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in their woe, they had learned to trust God and lean on His promises. But Moses warns them that in this blessed land that lies ahead of them, this blessed life of the promised land, when they have plenty of everything and their stomachs are full, Israel will be tempted to forget the Lord and to turn away from Him. And that will invite true woe into their lives, separation from God, which of course, as you read the Old Testament, is exactly what happened. So I ask you, in which life was Israel truly blessed? In that woeful wilderness life, so-called, where God taught them to trust His Word and to lean upon Him? Or in that blessed promised land life that caused them to forget God and His Word? And so you see, Jesus says, blessed are the poor and the hungry and the sorrowful. Blessed are those who are hated and reviled for His name's sake. Because it is in the woes of that wilderness life that God humbles us and teaches us blessed reliance upon God and upon His Word, which is what we need more than we need bread and meat. Conversely, Jesus says it is the rich, those who have full stomachs, those who are laughing, those who are well spoken of in this world, who in fact are the most woeful people of all, because the good life has fooled them into thinking they don't need God or His Word, but that their own flesh is their strength. So the prophet Jeremiah, in our Old Testament reading today, helps us rethink all of this. Perhaps Jesus had these words on His mind as He preached His sermon on the plain. Jeremiah said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." And again, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." Or to put a New Testament spin on that, blessed is the man whose faith lies not in what happens to him, but in what happened to Jesus Christ. Such a faith, rooted deeply in what happened to Christ, is not enamored of or distressed by anything that the eye can see in this world, and does not judge on that shallow standard. But a faith that is focused on what happened to Jesus on the cross receives the greatest blessings of all, of forgiveness, of righteousness, of life and of salvation, all of those gifts of God that make life worth living. Such a faith is like Jeremiah's tree that is planted by the streams of water. In times of plenty or in times of drought, it doesn't really matter. This tree is well watered, and it is truly blessed because its deep but unseen roots are constantly drawing life from the living water of Christ and of His words. And the more severe the drought around it becomes, the more blessed this tree is as it learns in times of drought even more and more to rely upon and to tap into the water of life. And so its leaves are always green, and it always produces the fruits of faith and of righteousness regardless of circumstances, because it's blessed. True blessedness, you see, is to be connected to Christ. So any woe that brings you closer to Christ and to His Word, anything that humbles you and teaches you reliance upon Christ, anything that drives you to the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ, is in fact not a woe at all, but is a blessing. Just as the cross, this instrument of torture, is to us a blessing. For it is in these ways that God draws us closer to Himself. And blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom, and you will be satisfied, and you shall laugh, and your reward shall be great. Conversely, any blessing so called that tempts you to forget the Lord and His Word, that leaves you feeling like you don't really need the Lord, anything that would make you rely upon or trust in your own flesh is in fact not a blessing at all, but is woe to you. For it is in these ways that the devil turns us away from God. And woe to you, for for you there shall be no reward, and you will be hungry, and you will weep forever. So, you see, it turns out the phrase, blessed are you, is really a statement of faith, not of sight. It's a statement that can't be proven, but can only be believed. Contrary to the superficial view of things, it is the very ones who seem to be the worst off who perhaps are the most blessed of all, while the ones who seem to be doing so well are perhaps the most woeful of all. Because true blessedness has nothing to do with our status in this world, or what we have in this world, or how well it's going for us in this world, or how well we are spoken of in this world. Blessedness has everything to do with being deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. He is life. He is hope. He is strength. He is the forgiveness of our sins. His blood is the seal of our salvation. He is the water of life, that stream that makes glad the city of God. And so yes, blessed are you who are poor, who have nothing left to hold on to in this world but Jesus Christ and His promises, and yours is the kingdom of God. Oh, and blessed are you who are hungry now for a righteousness you can't achieve on your own, no matter how hard you try, for you will be satisfied. You will be filled with Christ's own righteousness and seated with Him forever at the banquet in His kingdom. And blessed are you who weep now in repentant sorrow, for you shall laugh in the joy of your forgiveness forever. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they revile you on account of the Son of Man, when they see Christ in you. For so they hated the prophets before you. Prophets, I will remind you, who even now are seated with Christ in paradise. So what happened to me these past weeks? How do I judge it? Blessing or woe? Of course, most people would say, well, that's woe. And of course, I would too. I didn't want it, didn't invite it. I would have stopped it if I could. And yet, dare I count what happened as a blessing? Did not God say that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose? Could this be blessing? Because I suppose there's nothing like, I don't suppose, I know there is. There's nothing like a brush with death to drive a person to the mercy of God. Some of you know this. And to draw you closer to the one who saves you from death. People ask me how I'm doing. Well, I say I'm feeling good, but what I really want to say is I'm doing better now than ever. Oh, the body's a little worse for the wear, but I am healthier now than I ever was because of that blessing. Woe to those who never learn those kinds of lessons, who think that they don't need the Lord, whose easy lives lead them to false security and drive them away from their Savior. But blessed are you who are like that tree planted by the water, who draw your life from Christ, the water of life. And yes, blessed are you whose woes and trials in life are drawing you closer to your Savior. Great is your reward in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.